I would like to thank all of our very honored guests for coming this evening. Tonight we'll only speak for a few minutes because tomorrow there is a yatra to Pandharpur and we do not want to keep everyone so late. And also, my health is not very good, so I beg forgiveness, but I'll only speak for a few minutes. Tonight, we are celebrating the beautiful pastime that takes place in Srimad Bhagavatam, describing Lord Sri Balaram's visit to Vrindavan. As we know, when Krishna and Balaram were hardly 12 and a half years old, on the invitation of Akrura, they left Vrindavan for Mathura in order to participate in the wrestling match with Chanura and Mushtika. Krishna and Balaram easily defeated these two very great Rakshasa demons in the form of wrestlers, and also killed the most powerful elephant in all the world, Kuvalayapita. And after doing so, Kamsa became so angered that he ordered the death of Devaki, Vasudev, and Ugrasena, and also the punishment of Krishna and Balaram. Upon hearing these assaults to the devotees, Devaki, Vasudev, Krishna became very much convinced and decided that this was the time that Kamsa must die. So he jumped to where Kamsa was sitting on the raised platform and he dragged him down by the hair and beat him with his fists and ended Kamsa's life. And then Kamsa's brothers and ministers and all other of his soldiers attacked, and Krishna and Balaram easily destroyed all of them. In this way, Krishna and Balaram were living happily in Mathura, fulfilling the long expected love that Devaki and Vasudev wanted to offer to them. But due to Jarasandha and Kaliyavana and so many demons attacking Mathura, Krishna decided to create a fort in Dwarka, in the sea, just to give more peace and happiness to his devotees, the members of the Yadu dynasty. And for many, many years, Krishna lived in Dwarka. And the residents of Vrindavan were always immersed in Vipralamba Seva, love and separation. Srila Prabhupada often taught us that this was the system that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. That we should not be proud of being with Krishna or seeing Krishna, but rather we should always be longing in great humility to serve Krishna in a mood of separation. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the highest principle of unconditional love, where the devotees are existing simply for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Just this morning we were in Udupi with about 35 devotees. Very beautiful place. And we were remembering Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Udupi. When he first arrived, he went before the beautiful deity of Naratak Gopal. Today he is known as Udupi Krishna. That deity was once the deity of Rukmini, worshipped in Dwarka, and later found in a lump of Gopi Chandan by Sri Padmadvacharya. Lord Chaitanya was dancing in great happiness. And the sannyasis and acharyas of Madhva Sampradaya, the Tattvavadis, when they saw Lord Chaitanya, they first thought he must be a Mayavadi sannyasi. So they would not speak to him. But when they saw how he was chanting Krishna's name and the love that was filling all of the symptoms of his bodily movements and qualities, they understood he's a very great devotee. So they welcomed him. Lord Chaitanya is always propagating the purest principles of devotion, which are based on the verse Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that one should feel oneself more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respects to others and to expect none for oneself. Only in this mood can we properly chant the holy name constantly. Even if you are a devotee, if you are proud of your Vaishnavism, if you are proud of how much scripture you know, if you are proud of how well you can preach or how well you can cook or how well you can dress the deities or how austere you are or how many rounds you can chant or how long you have been following the regulative principles or how many days you have attended Mangal Arti, if you're proud of any of these things, it defeats the whole purpose of the spiritual practices you are performing. Srila Prabhupada, by his own example, he had translated volumes and volumes of Vedic literatures. Not only that, but the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatams that he had translated sold more copies than any in the history of the world. Tens and millions of his books were distributed in more languages than ever before. And yet, he publicly declares for the whole world for all time to come in his purports that he is not writing these books, that he's simply trying to follow the order of his spiritual master for his own purification. And due to the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, Krishna is speaking through him. No pride. The pride is in his Guru. The pride is in Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya. Never in his own abilities. This is Vaishnava. This is the Siddhanta that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. So many people argue, what is Siddhanta? Whether the jiva came from this place or that place, or whether you can understand rasika bhakti through any means but constant meditation on those subject matters. They talk about Siddhanta, but this has nothing to do with the Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana. When you can chant the holy name more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, then by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, everything is revealed. And until we can do that, everything is theoretical. Everything is intellectual. There can be no real realization. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Udupi, he sensed that many of these Tattvavadi leaders were proud of their Vaishnavism. because they were so strict and they were so staunch and they were so learned in philosophy. Previously, when he was in Sri Rangam, he did not give special mercy to the smarta Brahmins who knew all the scriptures, but rather he gave to that illiterate Brahmin who was just somehow or other trying to please his Guru Maharaj by reading Bhagavad Gita every day, and not even correctly. But Lord Chaitanya saw his humility, his desire to serve his Guru, and his sincerity, and he embraced him and gave him ecstatic love of God, Krishna Prema. So Lord Chaitanya took a very humble position, and he asked, what is the goal of life and how to achieve it? And the Tattvavadis replied that the process is by following the Varnashram system very carefully and offering the fruits of one's occupation according to Varnashram as a service to Krishna. And the goal is to go back to Godhead. Does that sound all right to you? To carefully follow Varnashram system, offer your occupation to Krishna and go back to Godhead. It's actually a very high platform. But for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was considered fruit of activity. He told them, no. He explained, Narayana parasarave na kutashchana vibhyate swarga pavarga narikeshu apituliyate darshana. This verse from Bhagavatam explains how the devotees of Narayan, they do not care whether they're in Vaikuntha, they do not care whether they're in the heavenly planets, or even if they're in the hellish planets. They're only concerned with serving the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. And then he quoted another verse from Bhagavatam, Saloka Sarasti Samipya Surupya Katyamapyata Vinamanam, what is it? Vinamatsevanam, I forget. But this verse which explains a devotee does not accept the five kinds of liberation. He is not concerned with going back to Godhead, to live in the planet of the Lord, to have the opulences of the Lord, to have the personal association of the Lord, to have the same bodily features of the Lord. He's not concerned with merging into the oneness of the Lord. He disregards all these things because he's content and satisfied just serving the Lord in whatever way the Lord wants him to serve, wherever the Lord wants him to serve. That is unconditional love. Savai pung sang puro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshache. Ahoyite ki apratihata yagatma suprasidate. The supreme occupation is that which brings about unconditional, unmotivated service to the Lord. And it is also explained by Lord Chaitanya, the final sloka of Shikshastakam, Ashlisya vapadratam panashtumam adarshana maramahatam karatuva yathadatata vidatatu lampato mat prana natastu sa eva naparaha. That, my Lord, you can handle me roughly by your embrace, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, you can do whatever you like to me. I am your servant unconditionally. That consciousness is far higher than to aspire to go back home, back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya considered that the desire to go back to Godhead was fruit of activity. And then he explained the only means by which you can attain this stage of bhakti is through following the nine processes of devotional service. And most important is hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the Lord's holy names. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way of achieving perfection except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. And the following of the Varnashram system is very, very important and essential to creating an atmosphere by which all classes of men and women can work together harmoniously according to their natures and be satisfied and live with a real sense of responsibility to the service of the Lord and the Vaishnava community. But at the same time, the heart of Varnashram is to create an atmosphere by which people can really take shelter of hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because it is through that process that we can actually become purified. And Srila Prabhupada explained that all the preaching of the Hare Krishna movement is simply to create an atmosphere in people's lives where they are induced to take shelter of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this very carefully to the acharyas of the Tattvavadis. And after hearing it, they said, "Everything you are saying is correct. We have never heard such a high, unconditional, uncompromised understanding and realization of Vaishnavism. But still we have our traditions, even though we know what you're saying is true." So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us something very, very special and unique. And His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has given us that same essential message in such a pure, simple, and honest way. And the only price He's asked for this supreme, most valuable treasure is just to accept it and to help assist him to give it to others. So the residents of Vrindavan, they were immersed in this most humble state of love in separation from Krishna for so many long decades. And it came to where Krishna asked Balaram to go to Vrindavan to pacify the Vrijvasis. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why Krishna himself did not go. The reason was because the family of the Yadus were feeling so much that if Krishna goes and he sees Nanda and Yashoda and he sees the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani, they will serve him with such devotion that he'll never be able to leave them again, and then we'll never see him again. So somehow or other they insisted, "You cannot go, send Balaram." So Krishna sent Balaram with messages to all of them, and he boarded his chariot and he arrived in Vrindavan. And when he came, he was greeted by all the Brijvasis. First Nanda and Yashoda, and they put him on their lap and began to embrace him, and they were crying and asking, "How is Devaki? How is Vasudev? It is so good that Kamsa's killed," and all the devotees, "But where is Krishna? Does he ever remember us? Does he think of us? Will he ever come again?" And Balaram greeted everybody according to their respectful position. To his seniors, he bowed down. To his juniors, he accepted their obeisances and gave blessings. To his equals, he embraced. Even in the spiritual world, there is this Vaishnava etiquette. And after meeting everyone and taking nice prasad from the Brijvasis and resting, then the gopis secretly met with Balaram and began to ask about Krishna. That Krishna, we gave our life and soul to him. We left our husbands, we left our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our homes, our security. We left everything only for him. And then he left us. And he doesn't even care for us. Does he ever remember us? Will he ever return? Will he ever pacify the lamentation in the heart of his mother, Yashoda? And another gopi said, why you are talking about Krishna? He's forgotten about us, so why should we think and speak about him? But the fact is, it was impossible for them to stop talking about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee, you can take everything away from a devotee. You can take away his wealth, you can take away his health, you can take away his fame and his distinction in society, and he doesn't mind. But you can never take away the enthusiasm for him to speak about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also exhibited this. Hari Sari Prabhu has been telling us, when Prabhupada was in his last days, everything was taken away. As far as his physical abilities, he couldn't walk, he could hardly see. But to practically the last moment, he was chanting the glories of the Lord. And this is the life of a Vaishnava, to glorify Krishna. So, Balaramji reported Krishna's message to them, and after doing so, he began to have a wonderful, wonderful dance, Rasa Lila, on the bank of Jamuna in a place called Ramghat with his own gopis. And during this wonderful festival on the moonlit night, which we are celebrating, the Gandharvas and the celestial sages were showering flowers and chanting the glories of Lord Balaramji. And then Varuna sent his daughter, Varuni, in the form of a beverage called Varuni. And it was coming out of a particular tree. And it is explained that Varuni is a very, very intoxicating beverage that is the essence of honey. And Balaram and the gopis were drinking this. And they were becoming transcendentally very, very joyful. And Balaram called for Jamuna. You come here, we want to swim in you. And Jamuna was thinking, he is so much intoxicated, he is asking me to change the course of my current. So she ignored him. So Balaram with his plow, he caught hold of Jamuna and started dragging her. And as he was dragging her, he was cutting her into so many little streams. And he said, you sinful river, you are not obeying my order. And Jamuna immediately came, Kalindi, with folded palms, and begged forgiveness. You are the almighty personality of Godhead. I did not understand your glory and power, O Balaramji. I am your devotee and surrender to you. Please forgive me. And then Balaram forgave her, and with his gopis had wonderful devotional activities in the river, and then came out, and the goddess Lakshmi offered him a garland of lotus flowers and fresh blue garments. And in this way, Balaram performed these wonderful pastimes for 2 months during the spring season in Vrindavan. But Shukadeva Goswami explains how these 2 months appeared to go by just like one night in transcendental happiness. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the Harinam Sankirtan movement, has given us the transcendental means by which we could actually realize and enter into these transcendental pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada actually explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's home movement and all the activities within Lord Chaitanya's movement are all the pastimes of Vrindavan. And by just assisting, by being the servant of the servant of the servant, just by assisting this great mission, we are actually in the most perfect form participating in the process of purifying our hearts for the pleasure of Krishna. The spiritual world is that place where everyone simply wants the satisfaction of Krishna. And this is our goal in life. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmaneshwari bhavatad bhakti rohayati ketvari. I do not want wealth or women or fame or distinction or followers or even liberation from suffering. Birth after birth after birth, I pray I only have the right to serve you unconditionally. That is the aspiration we should all set on the altar of our hearts and strive to achieve through carefully following the teachings of the previous acharyas. We are also celebrating Hanuman Jayanti, the appearance day of Sri Hanumanji. Hanumanji was also such an unconditional servant of Lord Sri Ram. He was a perfect brahmachari in the sense that he had absolutely no concern or care for his own life or death. He was only concerned with pleasing Ram. He was so absorbed in faith in Ram's power that he could do anything. He could lift mountains. He could jump over oceans, never even considering whether it was impossible or possible, only considering, this is what Ram wants me to do. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate giri yat kripatam aham vande sri gurum dinatharam. If we have that kind of faith, Krishna can empower us to do wonderful things. And in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Hanuman appeared as Murari Gupta and also showed that same unconditional love. Lord Chaitanya said about Murari Gupta, although he's a grihastha and he's a doctor, a physician by profession, if anyone considers him an ordinary man, they are condemned, because he has the power by his devotion that he could heal a man's physical and spiritual diseases and give them Krishna consciousness. And today we have with us Hari Sori Prabhu, who is empowered physician of our soul, who so perfectly administers the most powerful and satisfying medicine of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful pastimes. And he's leaving tomorrow for Calcutta. So this evening is the last chance we'll have him here. And on behalf of all the devotees, we would like to invite you to come back again and again and again to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. All those who would like to confirm my invitation, please say Hari Bol. And of course, His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj, he'll be going with us to Pandharpur, so we'll be very fortunate to have his association. But at this time, we would like to invite Hari Sari Prabhu to very kindly speak.
Namaram Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Unfortunately, this is the last opportunity that I have to get your association. I wanted to, Maharaj asked me to say something more about Prabhupada's pastimes perhaps, but at the beginning I wanted to express my heartfelt satisfaction and appreciation for the very wonderful way that I've been hosted since I've been here. This is my first visit to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, and I sincerely hope that it won't be the last. I'm very deeply indebted to Srila Radhanath Maharaj, to Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his family, Krishna Priya, Radha Priya, and Radha and Anjali and Priya Brata, and also to all of you, the congregation, because one of the things that I learnt, Maharaj was mentioning about etiquette, that etiquette also exists in the spiritual world, and you know, it's not just some rule and regulation to keep us all in order, but it's actually, you know, a question of reciprocation and relationship. And that all exists originally there in the spiritual world. So when we see a perfect Vaishnav, then we would expect that his behavior would be, you know, just appropriate to every time, place, and circumstance, and to every person that he might meet. So having lived with Srila Prabhupada for about 18 months, or, you know, a year and a half, I got that opportunity to see Vaishnava etiquette in its perfect form. And Prabhupada was so wonderfully relating to everybody that he met, that he was able to satisfy anyone and everyone that came by his dealings. Anybody that met Srila Prabhupada, they always felt that they had always somehow or another known him, even if it was the first time that they ever met him. He was that kind of person. He was so warm and welcoming that, you know, you just felt that you've always known Prabhupada and that you always will know him. So in the same way, I was just kind of thinking this morning that actually the last few days that I've been here, I feel like, you know, I've always been here. And I was just kind of thinking that, you know, it's an experience that I had when I was with Prabhupada, seeing the nice Vaishnava etiquette, and that you're all actually practicing your Krishna consciousness so nicely and with such devotion that when we come here, we, you know, we feel completely at home and we don't want to leave. But unfortunately, of course, we do have things to do. And so I do have to go back to Calcutta tomorrow, very regretfully. But that I do pray to Krishna that in the future I will be able to come back and share your association. Because for me it's been a very inspiring and enlightening experience. I've rarely come across a community that is so transcendentally enthusiastic and unified and has such a spirit of devotion and helping each other to progress in spiritual life. I think that that's primarily the influence of His Holiness Radhanath Swami, because he's so, I was just telling him today that the whole atmosphere here is so sattvic. You know, there's no rajas, there's no tamas. It's all motive goodness, transcendental goodness. And I think that's, you know, due to Maharaj's influence. He has brought you all up in Krishna consciousness by his preaching and by his personal example. You know, I can't remember ever seeing him, you know, lose his temper, because I haven't had continuous dealings with him, but at least, you know, the experiences that I've had with Maharaj have always been that he's, you know, he exemplifies, you know, as we were reading this verse about the description of a sadhu, Tikshava Karunika, Suridas Havadayanam. He has all of those qualities, and because he is such a perfect Vaishnav, then you're also learning the right standards. So I think this is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He has shown us the proper standards himself, and those who were sincere and who have followed him, they're also showing the same qualities. And this is the nature of spiritual life. It's, Prabhupada said, it's like electricity. You know, it spreads very easily and very quickly. So if the potency is there, then there must be some effect. So I can see so much wonderful effect in this temple, in this community, in the preaching that you're all doing. It's a wonderful example to the rest of our society, ISKCON society. And if you all just very sincerely and faithfully continue on practicing, as Maharaj is showing you, you keep your focus on Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya, and have full faith in what he has given in the form of his movement, this ISKCON movement. We were talking about that this morning, that nobody is going to give a better structure for practicing Krishna consciousness and for helping others to practice Krishna consciousness than Srila Prabhupada. All we can do is build upon what he has already given us. If we think that we can do something outside of Prabhupada's movement and be successful, that is an illusion. Because Srila Prabhupada was the one who was actually sent by Krishna to establish Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And he was the one, Prabhupada was simply doing whatever Krishna told him to do. That's a fact. That whatever he has created has directly come from Krishna through Srila Prabhupada, because he had such an intimate relationship with him. And therefore we see the tremendous potency and the success that has come from just a few years of preaching. So we should be convinced that what Prabhupada has given is perfect. Not that there are no imperfections, but the imperfections are ours. The perfection is Prabhupada's. And Prabhupada has given us the means to go from where we are to where he is. And that's ISKCON. That is a vehicle for carrying or transforming imperfect people, conditioned souls, into perfect, pure devotees of the Lord. So we have to, or we should have that faith that what Prabhupada has given us, the formulas are already there. Now we simply have to realize that. We have to realize it in our own hearts, and we have to realize it in a manifest way for others to see, so that more and more people take up this process of Sankirtan, because this is the only means by which anybody can be saved in this age of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada told me once, actually, when we were in Bhubaneswar in 1977, he was speaking about the necessity of establishing these farming communities. And he said that, because at that time we were just trying, we were just beginning one or two places, and just a few people were showing interest. But Prabhupada said that, he said, initially, just a few people will come. And he said, then gradually, hundreds will come. said, then after that, then thousands will come. He said, and then millions will come. So Prabhupada was convinced of that, that if we just practice our Krishna consciousness, then it must grow, it must expand exponentially. It will just keep on growing and mushrooming all over the world. So we've seen that. All we have to do is do the simple things that Prabhupada gave us. That's all. We don't have to add anything or, you know, dispense with anything. But the simple process of chanting, distribution of prasadam, and essentially associating together in a mood of devotion, helping each other to become Krishna conscious, helping others to become Krishna conscious. And in that way, then we see a wonderful atmosphere. Just a wonderful atmosphere is created. So I feel that is here already in this Radha Gopinath Mandir, that all of you, Grihasthas, Brahmacharis, everybody, sannyasis, everybody is working so nicely together and spreading Prabhupada's movement to so many other fortunate souls. So if we just keep on doing that, you're already successful. We're already fortunate. Prabhupada said, as soon as we take up Krishna consciousness, we become fortunate. Actually, there was a conversation one time in Hawaii where one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada that it says that only when one becomes fortunate can he get the seed of devotional service from Guru and Krishna. That, you know, one is traveling all around the universe, but when he becomes bhagya, when he gets good fortune, then he gets the bhakti lata bij. So he said, but it also says that in Kali Yuga everybody is unfortunate. So how does an unfortunate person become fortunate? So Prabhupada said, I am creating that good fortune. So I am creating that good fortune by going out and preaching. He said, now that you've got this good fortune, he said, don't throw it away and then again become unfortunate. But take advantage of it, remain fortunate, and make others fortunate also. So we've seen the potency that Srila Prabhupada had when he was here, and we've seen the same potency at work through those who have sincerely continued to execute his desire in expanding this movement that he gave. He said, I have given the basic, the framework. He said, now you have to just fill in, you know, all the details of it. So the framework was there. And I remember in Mayapur in 1977, this was just before Prabhupada got seriously ill, he was standing on the balcony one morning after breakfast, and I was at the side of him. And he turned to me and he said, I want that Krishna consciousness be spread everywhere at once. So he said, at least anyway, we have a few centers, 108 centers by that time. He said, so something is there. Little something is there. But that you can see, you can understand Prabhupada's desire. He had this immense desire to preach Krishna consciousness. And that showed in every activity that he performed and at every stage of his life. Even to the very end, he was preaching Krishna consciousness. You know, even the very departure of Srila Prabhupada was a lesson to us all of how to successfully quit this body and go back home, back to Godhead. So that is the life of an acharya. He shows by example. He teaches and he shows by example. Prabhupada said that an acharya, some people speak very nicely, but they don't behave so well. And some people, they pucker in their behavior, but they don't want to speak anything. But acharya means he speaks and he acts also. So Srila Prabhupada, he was the perfect acharya for this age, both in his speaking and in his action and his dealing with others. We saw just perfection, actually, perfection of human existence. So that is within our grasp by Srila Prabhupada's arrangement and by his mercy, that he is actually able to give us also the chance to attain that perfectional stage of existence. So we simply have to agree, that's all. It's not a difficult thing. Prabhupada used to say that. He used to repeat it a lot. Is it very difficult? Just chant Hare Krishna, sing and dance? Is it difficult? No. Is it difficult to take Krishna prasadam, so many varieties nicely offered to the Lord? No. Is it difficult to say a little something to about Krishna to others? Yes. But still you have to do it. Is that bit is difficult because not everybody wants to hear about Krishna. But the devotee is so compassionate that even though there's no receptivity, still he wants to give. So he has no difficulty, at least in his own development of Krishna consciousness, and he makes it easy for others. That's the point. So practice is very simple for ourselves. Sing and dance and eat. Said Prabhupada once said, we shall eat our way back to Godhead. So this is a sublime process. It means it's so easy that you don't realize there's an example what sublime means, sublime advancement. Prabhupada said sometimes when you're sitting on the aeroplane and you're waiting for the takeoff, so then you may become absorbed in reading, you know, a magazine or a newspaper or something. And then after a few minutes you suddenly realize, you hadn't realized, but now you suddenly realize you're already way up in the air because you got absorbed in something else. So he said in the same way, as we become absorbed in practice of Krishna consciousness, then actually we're already well on the way back home, back to Godhead, more than what we realize. It's so sublime that it happens without you even understanding how it's going on. Another example is just, you know, how if you get sick and then you take some, proper said, if you're given some intravenous medicine, it's actually killing all the disease and restoring you to good health. So you don't know exactly how it's working, but it's working. You know it's working because you get healthy. So Krishna consciousness is like that. You take Krishna prasadam, then it acts just like that medicine. It finishes up all of our previous sinful reactions, bad karma, and it purifies us and spiritualizes us. Just the act of taking prasadam, what to speak about anything else. So all of these processes that Prabhupada has given, especially the chanting of the holy names, that is the sublime process, he used to say, for becoming fully spiritualized in this one lifetime. So I won't take up any more of your time. Again, I want to thank you all very sincerely for the wonderful hospitality that you've extended. I'll certainly spread the word around. And you may get flooded with a lot of other devotees coming here to take advantage. So that will be very nice. So then you can show everybody what is the proper standard for Krishna consciousness. Because personally, after the last few days of being here, I'm convinced that if Krishna consciousness exists anywhere, it exists here in this community. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Sri Prabhu ki. Chandramali Maharaj ki. Hari Nam Sankirtan ki. Jai.